The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 4, Scene 21. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
I'm Susie Hobbinstock.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And we're going to talk about Grey Gardens, the musical, which is playing at Richmond Triangle Players through July 13th. This is a musical based on the astounding 70s documentary about a mother and daughter from an aristocratic American family who became eccentric recluses. And I think first we should ask, who has seen the original documentary upon which it was based?
I've seen it.
Me too.
Yeah. For people who haven't, I'm not sure how they would appreciate the show, because I told several people that night after they see the second act, these are real people. I mean, if you've seen the documentary, as I said, it's astounding. They're just incredible eccentrics. And if you don't know that, I'm not sure how well the show would work.
Well, even a couple of the songs are based on actual dialogue from the documentary. And they would seem even more weird than they already do if you didn't know that.
Do you want to kick it off?
I can only say that I adored the show. I thought it was an amazing match between actress and role to see Susan Sanford play little Edie Beale and her mother, each at a different time period. Everything that Susan Sanford has went into this role, just incredible charisma, fantastic singing voice, terrific comic sense.
She had
it all.
Like the documentary, I mean, it's got that blend of both their eccentricities, their what's funny about them, but also this very human and like wounded part of them. Susan Sanford's performance of Another Winter in a Summer Town, like, oh, if you don't start weeping, like, I'm not sure you have a soul. I went in, you know, loving the documentary and having high hopes, and this completely blew me away.
I did not like it as much as either one of you. Susan did a magnificent job. The play itself is, I guess, what I didn't really like. The first act seemed cluttered. There was just so much going on. I didn't like any of the songs, especially. I thought everybody was good. Gray Garrett did a nice job in the first act of kind of foreshadowing what was going to happen in the second act. Boomy Peterson in the second act was nice as the flustered older Big Edie. It just wasn't magic for me. Even Deb Clinton, who's a very talented director, she did her best, and I think she tackled it with solid pacing, and she kept the staging interesting, and she allowed the dramatic moments to be effective. It just didn't work for me.
Jerry, you ignorant slut. No, I mean, I disagree. I feel like no matter what, the first act will always get hit upon because it's not in the documentary.
Right.
But it I think it does a good job of setting it up, but also setting the tone of both this real, like, these wounded people, but also this feeling of camp. Right. And it's such a hard note to hit of both you're laughing at kind of what's going on, but also you have such deep empathy for these people involved. I really like the cast in it throughout. I thought Greg Garrett did a very good job playing little Edie when she's younger. Boomy Peterson also did an excellent job. I wish that the set had been a little bit more. This is a very minimalist staging.
There's
a
very interesting
piano on stage and a love seat, and that's kind of it. But to have seen 28-room mansion fall into, you know, disrepair in between Act 1 and Act 2 would have been amazing, but that's not what they staged here. I think Joey Luck's sound design was pretty cool. He heard the cats in the ocean.
Kim Fox, who led the 5-piece band, I thought they were very solid.
I agree that the set was kind of sad. Pacing-wise, I didn't even take a breath in the first act. It just went lickety-split for me. The second act is certainly slower, more poignant,
but more fun,
more reflective.
Too, but a lot funnier. Oh, craziness.
I wouldn't say funnier.
Oh, well, the night I was there, the audience was laughing like crazy at her lines.
Not that there aren't laugh lines, but that's so
heartbreaking.
Right, yeah.
You just see this person who's just been like crushed by her mother and by everything else in society. You know, she's like had all these different chances for things to work out, and then it just doesn't. So she's like stuck there. I found it unsettling and sad, but incredibly moving.
So you guys really liked the show?
Very much.
Very much so.
That's great. Okay, we have been talking about Grey Gardens, which is playing at Richmond Triangle Players through July 13th. We're on to our second musical, and that would be The Wiz, which is playing at Virginia Rep through August 8th. I think most people really already know what that's about, but basically it's a musical version of The Wizard of Oz inspired by black pop culture. What'd y'all think?
I was expecting to like it, but I wasn't expected to be blown away the way I was. I thought that it was really extremely well done. The voices were just right on point.
They always are for these shows.
Yeah.
I mean, Virginia Rep can get good singers, if nothing else.
Yeah, and the choreography also was outstanding. And, you know, I'm very reluctant to say that choreography is outstanding.
That would be Kikau Avero, who not only choreographed it, but directed it. And you know, I noticed in Atlantis, he choreographed that, and it had very unique, interesting choreography. I think that's one of his strengths, is he's kind of idiosyncratic. His stuff is unique. You don't see it in other places.
Virginia Rep, since Nathaniel Shaw has come, has upped its game in terms of recruitment of dancers in a big way.
Right.
And so we are getting much more capable, higher level dancers than we've ever seen before.
Good point. Good point.
I thoroughly agree. I noticed this is the second time that Ira White from the Richmond Ballet has been in one of the Virginia Rep performances. But also there were a couple of ensemble dancers who were new, who were professional dancers. They were dance majors, and they really stuck out for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it elevates the whole production.
Since we're talking about Kikau, visually he was very, there were lots of surprises, little things that showed up like, oh, well, that's kind of like the bouncy balls for the Munchkins. A lot of delightful performances. And speaking of that, let's talk about some of the people in the show.
Number one for me was Brandon LaRoe, who was the Cowardly Lion, and he was just
hilarious.
Mr. Charisma from the moment that he walked on the stage. And what a voice. Just a performance that came right out into the audience at you.
And I know he was really, really good, and everybody pointing out how wonderful he was, but I had a soft spot for D. Jerome Wells as the Tin Man. I thought that he did a really good job, and I mean, when he broke out into the tap dance, that kind of sold me.
And I like Dylan T. Jackson, the Scarecrow. He had a real kind of offhand comic delivery, which was kind of funny and sweet.
And a great lovability. I just thought he was
extremely
adorable.
Yeah. I thought it was a great trio.
Speaking of trios, Miss Desiree Roots played three roles, and I thought it's the funniest she's ever been.
Three completely different personalities. I mean, the Aunt M was, you know, kind of a sedate, you know,
sweet little old lady.
Yeah, like 1950s mom.
Right.
And then Atta Pearl was the greatest. I mean, that
was
her biggest comic turn ever.
Yeah.
And then the Eveline, that kind of punk rock costuming gave her a whole different personality. Persona there.
I do want to say that Mariah Lytle, who played Dorothy, she had a great singing voice and she was fine. She didn't seem to have a whole lot of personality in her characterization, though.
I would agree. There wasn't a lot of acting going on, and there was a magnificent voice there that the minute she opened her mouth for her first solo, I was really, really impressed. And she has the big, big number from the show Home, which she knocked out of the park.
Right, right.
But not a lot of acting performance happening.
Right. You know, the first act was a lot of fun. There was all kind of interesting and inventive things going on. The second act becomes much more dramatic, and you have all those heavy solos, all which were done great. Gerald Solomon as the Wiz had the two wonderful numbers in that. Jesse Johnson as Glinda, who's always spectacular. She just nailed that number.
Oh, yeah.
And then Lytle finally got her chance to shine in her big number, like you just mentioned, in the second act.
But I will say, I don't think that this show as a property is the strongest show. It felt very, very 70s to me. The songs were very, very 70s.
Kind of abrupt, too. Just things happening. Wait a minute, we're suddenly in another scene.
Well, that, to me, was the problem with the show. Everybody knows the basic story from The Wizard of Oz, and then we're going to have one punch number, and we're going to have another punch number, and kind of just marking time in between.
It kind of made me think. At the end, I looked at my watch, and I said, oh, it was just 2 hours. Normally, the musicals run a lot longer than that, so it seems as if there was a conscientious attempt to condense it a bit.
That could be. Now, let's talk about the tech a little bit. Kimberly V. Powers was the set designer. In the program, it referred to Afrofuturism, which was the style she was going for. And I could kind of see that in some, but I never felt like there was any cohesive design. I felt like every different location looked like a totally different set concept. And I never saw any kind of through line in those.
I thought that they tied things together somewhat with the lighting coming in through the slats, lighting embedded in the set.
And that would be Paul Black, who was the lighting designer for that. How about the costumes?
I liked the costumes. They were fun. They were colorful. They were glitzy and glamorous, and they gave you the feeling of, you know, a lot of punch and pow and pizzazz.
Gene Nugent was the costume designer. They were very glitzy. We have to mention, of course, as always, Anthony Smith did a great job with the orchestra.
He's perfect.
Always turns out a great musical support. So I think overall we're pretty saying this is a lot of fun.
A lot.
I thought they did, as Virginia Rep typically does, a fantastic production with maybe not the strongest play.
It's not the greatest play, but it was a lot of fun, and I think people who maybe don't go to a lot of theater or have never seen The Wiz will certainly have a great time. We've been talking about The Wiz, which is playing at Virginia Rep through August 8th. And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
I'm Susie Hobbinstock.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRAR. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more reviews.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.